Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. How dare you start the podcast like that? Just before we came on, you started the podcast like this. All right, then, let's get it recorded, or let's get it started. I was like, Christopher, we both give up our time and we both love this project, all right, Sunshine? And you might be very busy at the moment and I might be less busy, but listen, Sunshine, we are entertaining the world, all right? The world, Chris.
The world. The world. It's hard to appreciate entertaining the world when you're tucked up in a Tokyo hotel room.
It's true,
with
isn't
just
it?
A nice coffee and loneliness.
Well, maybe we'll do some kind of live stage show in Shibuya at that east place.
Yeah, I wonder how that would turn out. Standing on the roof of the big building in Shinjuku to a crowd of amassed followers.
Yeah,
that'd be quite fun.
I'd like
to do that in a few weeks.
Yeah.
When you're over here, we can turn dream into reality.
Is there a speaker's corner in Yogi Park we could just stand in and just do our little show?
Yeah, we could do. There's a nice place by the water in Yoyogi Park. We could do it there. If we were ever going to do a meetup in one place in Tokyo, I reckon Yoyogi Park would be just the ticket. Get the beers in. You could bring the beers in from the UK.
Okay,
Bring it down. Bring some cheese over. Job done.
You always see in Yoyogi Park near the water, you always see little girls practicing dance moves. Little, people who want to be idols doing dances. And I once had a very relaxing walk through Yoyogi Park. And yes, I did enjoy a particular ice cream brand at one point. There was an old man just by himself playing a kind of like fluty whistle sort of thing. And it was like, this is like a fucking Zelda side quest or something.
Fluty whistle. I like Yoyogi Park. It's, I remember going there a year ago, just I think I was really hungover. And you know when you're kind of hungover, you get up maybe a bit too early and you sort of stumble around, bleary-eyed, not really knowing what's going on. You're completely out of it. And I kind of had this meditative stroll through Yoyogi Park. And it is really nice. You've got people, as you say, dancing away to crappy J-pop music. You've got guys doing exercises, like old men exercising and drinking beer really early in the morning. It's just a nice microcosm of Japanese society, and it's all happening at Yoyogi Park. It's lovely.
You'll occasionally get this. I think there's a big. Is there a big table tennis stadium near there? Like a little kind of arena near Yoyogi Park. And there's a. There's a bandstand and a stage and stuff just in the middle of Yoyogi Park, I think. And the nice thing is before you get to Yoyogi Park, possibly if you walk through Shibuya up the hill. Walk towards Yoyogi Park.
The hill.
On a weekend, there's usually like craft fairs and food markets and antique fairs and stuff like that. And I love an antique fair. I love mooching around people's houses. So an antique fair is ideal for me because it's just someone's house that's been sick.
You are the antique, Pete.
Roadie.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we should go for a walk there when you're over here in a few weeks.
Yeah, reset
go for
a bit.
A nice little stroll. Yeah. Film it. Do the podcast in the park.
Well, we
all
need
you do
well
is stick a microphone in front of us. Job done.
Exactly. I was thinking I'll bring my little recorder and we'll do a couple on location. We'll go into a 7-Eleven. We'll have a little chat in 7-Eleven. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
A Broad Japan podcast on the go.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, one thing we won't be doing when you're here, Pete, is of course going to the pizza vending machine.
What?
Now, you might recall, ladies and gentlemen, from a previous podcast, the long-running saga of the pizza vending machine. There was a pizza vending machine in Hiroshima. We were all very excited about it. We went to it. We filmed it. It was glorious. And then about 2 weeks after I filmed it, it went. It magically disappeared. Loads of people went to see it and annoyed, like, sent messages to me being annoyed that this glorious pizza vending machine was no longer there. And then, just today, on the Abroad Japan fax machine email address, we got a message from Matt. And it reads, "Hey Chris and Pete, I was picking up a package at a pickup point." That's a bloody hell, that's a lot of alliteration.
A lot of peas there.
"I was picking up a package at a pickup point located next door to a filming studio." It's like Peter Piper picked a fucking pepper or whatever it was. "I was picking up..." Why am I doing it again? "I was picking up a package at a pickup point..."
You're doing very well, Chris. I love it.
To a filming studio in Toronto. "And as I turned around the corner in the back of the building, in the shared parking lot, was a pizza vending machine."
What?
"It's in Toronto. What's it doing there? Somebody nicked it. Some Canadians turned up to Hiroshima and nicked it." "I asked the lady who worked at the pickup point what it was doing there. And apparently, late at night, when all the actors and crew are hungry and everything is closed, they can walk outside and get a pizza in 3 minutes for just $10 Canadian. Unfortunately, I didn't get to try it because I was on my bicycle and I had a big package to cycle home with. So carrying two boxes of pizzas would have been difficult. But just know that the pizza vending machine is there is a dream. A real dream. Love the podcast. You guys keep my dream of going to Japan alive while I work at my job." And so there we have it, the pizza vending machine. It's no longer in Hiroshima.
No.
If you live in Toronto, and I know a lot of listeners on this podcast are in Toronto, you can go and try it for yourself. So well
That's
done
incredible,
to whoever,
yeah.
to whoever nicked that and
the,
stole it.
I think there's probably more than one pizza vending machine. I mean, it's an ingenious idea.
No.
I didn't even think about the out-of-hours aspect of it.
Only one. Yeah.
The podcast pizza machine that was package picking up a package.
That was fun. That was a good little bit of exercise there. There must be only one pizza vending machine in the world, and I think that's it. And I'd like to think that it has been stolen, and I'd like to think that is the end of the saga. I don't think we'll ever talk. This podcast seems to be literally just you and I discussing pizza vending machines and Coolish ice cream. But I think we can close the chapter on the pizza vending machine saga once and for all. The pizza vending machine is now in Toronto. The end.
Well,
let's never speak of it again.
You say it like that, but people are obsessed with, you know, Avengers films where it looks like it's going to be the end, and then you go through the titles, and then there's like a coming next time kind of situation. Howard the Duck.
I'd pretty much drawn a line under this story last week or the other week when we discussed this. I didn't think it would rear its head in Toronto. That was a nice little bonus.
People want it. People want the pizza vending machine.
They do. They do. Actually, Matt, the guy that sent us this story and the cheeky little tongue twister that went with it, also left a little PS at the bottom. He says, "Fun fact, when you Google Abroad in Japan, the third recommendation is Abroad in Japan podcast email, because I think people want to get it right. I recommend you guys put it somewhere for ease of copy and paste." No, I like the Abroad in Japan podcast at gmail.com email address. It's cumbersome for a reason. It's cumbersome so we get the cream of the crop, the very best stories.
It's like the Dark Souls of email addresses. It's difficult, but it's rewarding when you get there. AbroadinJapan podcast@gmail.com. It's easy. Abroad in Japan is the name of the show. What is it? It's a podcast at Google opened an email company 20 years ago. There we go.
You know you've got a problem when we have to describe at great length the contact email.
I'm all about mnemonics, you know me.
There you go. Anyway, I have some sad, terrible news this week. Have you ever heard of Kumamon, Pete?
To be honest, there is a ramen shop around the corner from me that has a big old drawing of Kumamon in the window. You cannot escape that weird black bear with red cheeks. I presume he's a bear.
I think he's a bear. No, I mean, okay. Kuma means bear, and Mons means monster. Pokemon, Kumamon.
Bear monster.
What do you know of Kumamon? What do you know of him?
He's just everywhere. He's ubiquitous. You can't really go anywhere. I thought he was the mascot of a train, but turns out I don't think he was. He's just everywhere, that guy.
He was created after the kind of in relation with the train, the bullet train line to Kumamoto in Kyushu opened in 2010, and to kind of promote the fact that Kumamoto was now accessible by the common man and woman, they made a mascot to promote it, and Kumamon was that mascot. It's clever because he's Kuma, which is a bear. But Kumamoto, Kumamon, kind of works in several ways. Mm. But since 2010, he's actually become Japan's number one mascot. He's worth $1.2 billion to the local economy. and that is mental, given that he's just a picture of a bear, a cheeky-looking bear.
Well, I've seen his music. I like it. There's a couple of songs that he does. I think one's called Kumamon. and he just dances around a temple, I think, and talks about his mother and his father and stuff. It's all very confusing.
Sounds riveting. Sounds really good. the genius of Kumamon and the reason it's done so well is apparently not only is it really cute and cuddly and brilliant, but also the Kumamoto actually lets anybody use Kumamon's image as they see fit, as long as it promotes their goods or products or services. Anybody can use Kumamon. There's no like licensing rules or anything like that.
I see.
And that's why he's kind of spread everywhere. He's on t-shirts in Tokyo and Kyoto. You can get him anywhere. Usually it's quite hard to come by a mascot in Japan unless you're in the local area, but Kumamon is, as you said, ubiquitous. He is everywhere. But the bad news is they wanted to get Kumamon running with the Olympic torch next year when the Olympics rolls into town. They wanted him to have the torch and run through the streets of Kumamoto with it. But apparently they're not going to let him do that as they have a problem with a huge clumsy bear running around with an open flame. Admittedly, he is highly flammable, but still, I'm sure they could find a way of doing it.
Could they not fireproof him? Could they not sort of douse him in like gel, like they do with in
shampoo?
Or douse him in like not kerosene. That would be the complete opposite of what you wanted to do. wax. Can you not wax him up so he doesn't burn or anything? There's surely a way of making him fire retardant.
I think that might not do many favours for the image of Kumamon.
Yeah, I don't think
in wax and fire retardant material.
I don't think that if you're selling someone a costume, it should in any way be flammable. Anyway, why is it even flammable? Unbelievable. Kumamoto, Kumamon. Oh, poor chap.
Sad news there. Sad news indeed.
Will he be able to do some? Will he be able to do some like hurdles or something, or like little jog around the thing for the Olympics? Surely.
Well, I don't know what they're planning on doing. Yeah, I think he's just literally just going to run through the town for like 5 minutes with a torch. Would be quite the imagery. Actually, the Olympic flame is all coming all around Japan. It's going to be passing right past Natsuki's house, I think. So next year, when it does happen, he's going to drag me over to his house. We're going to try and film it from his window. Or we might, if we could be bothered, leave his house and go to the road. But the window's probably better.
Yeah. Oh, good news.
Yeah, but there you go. Poor old Kumamon.
Mm.
I did actually feature him in a recent video as well, so I'm going to plug my new video. Go and check that out. The recent episode of Journey Across Japan. If you want to see what this bear looks like, I went and checked him out. I was in Kumamoto, lovely town. It's got one of the nicest castles in Japan, but it looks like it's been bombed because of the earthquake a few years ago. It really did level the city and the castle itself. It looks like it's been in a war. It looks like it's been some sort of battle, which kind of gives it quite a cool look to it. It's not often... Like, if you go to a Japanese castle, usually they kind of look perfect, right? Yeah. They're immaculate. They've been rebuilt 1,000 times. They kind of look almost too perfect, in contrast to British castles, which kind of wrecked and a bit old, and they look kind of cool. But, because this one's been blown apart in the earthquake, it's quite a sight to see. So for that reason alone, definitely check out the video on Abroad in Japan. But they're going to repair it. which I think is actually sad in some ways, because that's just going to look like another just another Japanese castle. Mm.
They can be a little samey, the old castles, can't they? I read recently about the Japanese architecture in the hall is it Wabari or Wahabi, or either way it was like part of it sort of meant like imperfect or gloriously imperfect, like a beautiful kind of like imperfection, make it look really like less than uniform and stuff like that, which I really
Wabi
quite
sabi.
Like. Wabi sabi, that's it. There Wabi we go. Sabi. Wabi sabi.
It rhymes.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It's an easy way to remember it. Did I tell you, when I applied for the Japan Exchange teaching program and I went in for my interview in London as an English teacher, I had to talk about wabi-sabi, as I'd very stupidly put on my application form that it's like the one book about Japan that I'd read. I thought I'd be clever. Hadn't even really read the book. I read like the first five pages about wabi-sabi. It's kind of a Buddhist aesthetic where you see the beauty in things that are imperfect, as you mentioned. Like, things like an old chipped cup or an old chipped bit of pottery. You're supposed to see the beauty in something like that, and I had to talk about that, and they asked me to define wabi-sabi, but because I hadn't read the book, I literally just went, oh, wabi-sabi, this is something you can't really describe it, can you?
You sound
and
like
the Japanese guy was like, you're right, yeah, you can't, it's difficult. And I actually passed on using that excuse, talk about wabi-sabi
Well, I think wabi-sabi is like the sabi bit. Certainly you can't really translate it properly, but you going, oh, wabi-sabi, sounds like the end of Macarena. Oh, wabi-sabi. Alright.
I don't know how you got that comparison.
Oh dear.
Okay.
On the Kumamon thing, I really like in the news story about Kumamon. I was reading. According to application rules, potential torch runners must have been born before the 1st of April 2008. And considering that Kumamon is a timeless creature with no known date of birth, his application is already fraught with complications.
So he's screwed for many reasons. Yeah.
Oh,
he's
dear.
2 years too young to be a torch runner. Maybe that's the real reason, instead of the fact that he might be a highly flammable bear.
Very enjoyable.
There you go. We've got some nice questions here in the fax machine this week. The first one is from Justin. I think it's a story, actually. So, hey, Chris and Pete. Listening to this week's podcast about scams inspired to share the tale of the time I was invited to join a cult in Japan. A few weeks ago, we talked about four of the most common scams in Japan. And since then, we've had lots of interesting stories. And Justin's story here is about a religious scam. It says, I'd been in Nagoya for a few days and was just coming down from a pretty serious illness. I used my newfound health to wander around a nice park somewhere in town. There was a big fountain in the middle of the park, and while I was standing there taking a picture of it, a very friendly pair of people approached me to ask if I'd like to do some meditation with them. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Who doesn't love a little bit of meditation? having absolutely nowhere to be and being genuinely curious about how it would all turn out, I said yes. We sat down on the edge of the fountain. They told me to close my eyes, which I only partially did, keeping one eye slightly open because I wasn't actually in the mood for being stabbed. after a few minutes of sitting there together, they asked me if I would talk to someone on the phone. One of them handed me the phone, where somebody was already on the other end of the line waiting to talk to me. They asked me if I wanted to join their church, to which I replied no several times. After finally getting off the phone, the woman was very insistent that I go and get in their van with them and drive to their compound, which they assured me was only 10 minutes away. At this point, I was no longer curious. I was certain I was going to be turned into a skin suit or grounded down into a sausage. There's so much great imagery here. I told them no. And just like Pete, I said I was meeting a friend. Eventually, I managed to break free. And after taking a few minutes to collect my thoughts, it was all just very funny. But I was genuinely a bit freaked out after a few minutes. Anyway, just wanted to share the funny and potentially life-threatening experience that I had. Really love the podcast, Justin.
That's magnificent, Justin. In the words of the SNL sketch, nothing good ever happens in a van. it's just nothing ever happens in a van that's good. There seems to be a lot of people getting in touch that they've, you know, been indoctrinated or tried to be recruited into a cult. I don't know what's going on, honestly.
It's really common. There was quite a few this week, actually. I think that was my favourite one. But, yeah, there were loads. People just walking around Tokyo. I think the sad reality is, if somebody comes and talks to you in general in Japan, a stranger, you start to feel kind of like something's wrong, because it's so rare, you know, for that to happen. So when a stranger does talk to you, you kind of think, oh, God, what's about to happen? And 9 times out of 10, it is just a cult, a really weird cult that wants to drag you off and indoctrinate you into their religion.
Look, if they're going to sponsor my visa, I'll join their bloody cult. It's fine.
Could be quite funny, though. We should, when you're over here, and we'll add this to our very long list of things
cult
we should
net.
Do when you're over here, we'll stick a GoPro in your hair, or somewhere where we can hide it, and then we'll send you into a cult and see what happens.
Yeah, and then I'll shave my head and I'll never be seen of again, and you won't ever know to do the podcast with you. I'll have to do it with Natsuki. Oh, no.
Yeah. Still, it could be quite interesting to see what really goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah, definitely. Little pen camera. Don't look at the hat, Homer Simpson style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan. We got an email from Joshua. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Joshua from Nashville, Tennessee. Beautiful part of the world. I have been there several times and it is brilliant. I've been planning a trip to Tokyo for the past 10 months. And keeping up with the podcast as well as YouTube during my research. This time next week, I'll be at the airport in Toronto when the new episode releases. I've hit a snag in my planning, though, as apparently robots or people with very fast internet bought all of the Ghibli tickets before me at the dates I am there. So now I'm looking for a cool hidden gem to experience in or very near Tokyo. Any suggestions? Joshua.
Oh, God. This is always a common one, isn't it?
Just go everywhere. Just go everywhere. Go to that weird bar that you recommended with the weird man. Go and see him. Whereabouts is that? He's a weird man. He comes out of puppets, and he's you imagine he might be quite abusive after a few.
I don't know if I could recommend that place, but yeah, if you want to try somewhere interesting that will change your outlook on life, perspective on existence, go to Kagaya Bar in Shinbashi.
Okay.
I would advise watching a video about it first on YouTube to prepare yourself. But that's one place.
It is indeed.
Where is good in Tokyo? People always ask me for these hidden spots, hidden locations, and I don't really know, like, where. All the people that live in Tokyo go to nice places like Shimokitazawa or Kichijoji, with these or Nakano Broadway.
Mm.
Nakano Broadway has got loads of cool shops and otaku stuff.
Yeah.
I've often heard it being described as Akihabara, but good. I've never actually been, but everyone always loves it, and I really need to go.
I've been. They've got a really big mandarik, which sells old resin and plastic toys from the 70s, which I enjoy immensely. If you want to buy 15 different Mothras for 100,000 yen each, that's your place. If you want to buy Neo Geo games from the 90s that cost over £1,000, there's your place. But it is good. It's very, very interesting, but quite expensive.
Speaking of Mothra, did you watch the new Godzilla film?
I've not seen the new Godzilla film. Is it any good? Is it setting the world alight over there?
I would give the film a 1 out
that
of
low,
10.
Eh?
It's really quite bad. I just got so bored. I quite like the 2014 one. Was it Gareth Edwards? I thought it was all right. But this one, it's really bad.
Mm.
Which is a real shame, because it's got a hell of a cast. It's got Charles Dance of Game of Thrones fame, who only has about two lines. Sally Hawkins from Shape of Water, and Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley.
Right,
and of course, Ken Watanabe as well, thrown in for good measure. But still, not even this incredible cast can save it from just a shocking script where most of the on-screen characters have to tell you the plot, have to tell you what's happening, because the CGI is so confusing. It's difficult to know what's going on. In fact, just after 20 minutes, I was pretty bored, which is very rare for a film. I don't normally get bored that quickly. In fact, I even read an interview with Charles Dance, and I think he said he even fell asleep during the premiere. So, tells you all you need to know, really. Don't bother watching it. Save your money.
Wasn't there a Godzilla film about 5 years ago now? I think that was kind of it was basically almost like the thick of it, kind of. In the loop,
kind of thing.
The Japanese one, where it was just like the administrative side of the government. It was basically a documentary about what would happen if Godzilla attacked, and how slow the gears of government can sometimes grind. The government trying to deal with a threat of a big monster and them just failing massively.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen that. It's called that's Shin Godzilla. That's the Japanese one, and I've actually heard pretty good things about that one. The whole film tends to focus on the politicians and how to deal with this gigantic monster tearing up all of Tokyo, which sounds a lot more politically intriguing than the contrived plot of Godzilla, King of the Disappointment. Should probably make an effort and go and watch it at some point. Have you seen it, Pete? Have you seen it yourself?
I've not seen it, no, but it kind of reminds me of a little bit like Chernobyl, the HBO Sky TV drama that we're both watching at the moment. It's very tense, but also it's just people who are out of their pay grade just going, oh God, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. This is a real big mess.
Yeah, Chernobyl's actually been... If you haven't watched this, guys, do check out Chernobyl, HBO. Really good series. It's been kind of the light at the end of the tunnel of bad crap I've watched this week. I watched one of the new Black Mirror episodes, the one with Miley Cyrus, and it was just fairly underwhelming. Although Miley Cyrus's performance was pretty good, to be fair. But, I'm a big fan of Black Mirror and Charlie Brooker, but, it was a bit of a letdown. So Chernobyl... Wow. That put a smile on my face. It was bloody brilliant. Even if it was lots of people dying of radiation, it was actually really well made. Highly recommend checking it out. Absolutely. Yeah. But don't watch Godzilla.
Don't watch Godzilla. Alfie Rolf. Hello, Alfie Rolf. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm going on holiday to Kyoto this November with my mother, but I want to go to a maid cafe. What do you think I can tell my mum to convince her to go to one with me? I also want to go to a hentai manga store, but that's a challenge for another day. Oh, Alfie.
God.
I mean, just...
She's in for a treat.
She's in for a treat. I mean, on the second problem, just send her to a coffee shop or get up early. when she wants a little nap, because, you know, as we get a little bit older, we want a little nap, and then sneak off. But, I mean, it sounds like you're slightly young, Elfie Rolf, and we may be exposing you as a hentai man.
I wonder if he can... How would he convince his mum to go to May Cafe? Maybe he could sort of say something like, oh, it's like a traditional geisha performance, but in the modern era.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mum might think, oh, yeah, culture, and then go. But other than that, I don't think she'd really appreciate it.
I mean, but it's just like... it's nothing sexual. It's just a bit... Just pick one that's where they're fully clothed. There must be like a ninja maid cafe or something. Must be something like...
Ninja maid cafe.
Yeah, where it's less sexy.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, well, I don't know. If somebody said, Pete, open a maid cafe, I'd be like, all right, fine, ninjas in that room. Godzilla's in that one. What are the Japanese like?
Have you heard of these butler cafes where it's kind of like a maid cafe but with guys instead?
Yeah.
I remember reading one about foreign guys. It was like just staffed by foreign guys dressed as butlers, and they have to play the role, do the same sort of monotonous crap you'd find in a maid cafe.
I'm for that.
You know.
I mean, it could have just been a nice restaurant. Just go to a restaurant. If you want waiters, just go to a restaurant.
Yeah. But good luck getting your mum there, Alfie Rolf. I hope she appreciates it. Probably don't take her to the hentai manga store. That might ruin her image of Japan somewhat. We've got one from Dan from Australia. Hi, guys. Ooh. Apologies if you've covered this topic before, as I'm still binging my way through all of the lovely Abroad Japan content recently on the Magnificent Wrestle Me podcast. That's your podcast, Pete. Mm. Another one of your podcasts and your podcast.
Never stop podding me.
Pete touched on the subject of Avril Lavigne's Hello Kitty track and mentioned the backlash she received for cultural appropriation, as well as the subculture that it borrowed from, before stating that the Japanese themselves don't actually take much of an issue with this. I would love to hear you both dive a little bit deeper into this, as it had me wondering if underground and subcultures are similar to what we know in the Western world, and whether they experience the same kind of gatekeeping and tribalism we see with, example, geek culture. As someone who liked the track far too much, ironically, then unironically, and now publicly, I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts. Love listening to the podcast. Dan from Australia. Oh, man.
That's always
Hello
the journey,
Kitty.
Isn't it? That's always the journey, though, isn't it? Like, you like something... ironically, and then you're like, oh, I quite like this. It's like I remember seeing an Onion headline, man enjoys pornography bought for ironic purposes unironically or something. Like, basically a bloke had a party and somebody just brought around a porno for a joke, and then he enjoyed it unironically.
How do you feel about this this song? To fill people in on the song Hello Kitty, basically it's Avril Lavigne and she's in Harajuku, isn't she, dancing around with some women who are acting kind of like robots in this kind of really robotic manner, a bit like Japanese shop staff, I guess, you know, where you don't actually talk like a person, you kind of have those set phrases you use. I don't know if it's cultural appropriation. We all ranted and raved about it in the West, but Japan really didn't care. They loved that song. Mm. I thought it was the worst song ever made by humans. And I remember playing it to Natsuki, and he nearly punched me in the face when he heard it. He was like, why would you make me hear this? Why would you make me listen to this crap? It's not a great song, but go and check it out and give your thoughts on it. Is it cultural appropriation? Mm. What do you think, Pete?
It sounded very Japanese, and I think people were just a bit like, oh, this is just a cynical cash grab. But it's got a lot of fans out there, and pop music is invariably a cynical cash grab anyway. And Hello Kitty and you know, Hello Kitty and A Sweet Shop, and it's hardly high cultural appropriation. We ain't talking about Native American headdresses here. We're talking about Hello fucking Kitty. So... I'm in any of these situations, you know what it's like, Chris. Like, the Japanese don't seem to give a shit. Like, you know, they're happy when, you know, when Ghost in the Shell came out and there was nary an Asian actor in there, Scarlett Johansson and the bloke out of Game of Thrones, nobody gave a shit. Like, it's a purely. So I'm not saying that that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that we imagine that the Japanese are. Up in arms about it, but they're clearly not. They couldn't give a toss.
Oh, no, I don't care. Yeah. No. In Avril Lavigne's defence, and it's a sad day when I have to defend Avril Lavigne, she does actually really like Japan. I think she's got a deep love of Japanese culture. So Does that excuse her? She seems to come over to Japan. In fact, there's a commercial with her in it right now where she's advocating the use of some sort of air cleaning product that's right. All around Japan. She loves Japan, so... Yeah,
I'd love a bit. I'd love a little job like that where you just pop over for a little while, do a Lost in Translation, a couple of adverts, and then sod off home. Beautiful, beautiful.
You play your cards right, Pete. The day might arrive somehow. That could be a fun documentary trying to make you famous in Japan. Mm,
trying to make me
what
an
do you
idol.
Say to that?
I was reading about this. Yeah. The one of the Shibuya Ward government officials was an idol. Who used to work in Shibuya quite a lot, and she's this kind of beautiful young woman. I don't know how old she is, but she's this. She's one of the governors, or I'm not really sure how the wards work, but she's the ward of Shibuya, and she used to be an idol, and she's dancey singing lady, but now she's very serious about Shibuya and stuff. But she's very progressive when it comes to comparing her to any other Japanese politician. Very pro-gay rights, yeah. etc.
If you look at any photo of Japanese politicians, there's only ever like one woman in a sea of men.
Have you seen the recent protests? That's one of the news stories that reached our shores, certainly in the past couple of weeks. The women protesting to be allowed to wear flat shoes at work.
Yeah, I did see that briefly. I understand that one of the top ministers in the Japanese government said that all women should, like, said that high heels are appropriate in the workplace and should be worn or something ridiculous.
Right.
Do you know what was the story?
I think it was just women were protesting that they shouldn't have to wear high heels at work. But I'm fairly certain, did they have to wear higher heels at work and not wear flats? It seems bizarre that you wouldn't be allowed to wear flats.
Yeah,
in the office.
I don't know, but what I do remember this minister like just saying that women should be wearing high heels, and that caused even more outpouring of anger. Ministers have a tendency here to cause a lot of problems with their
gaffes,
with their outspoken views on things. Fair play to them, but yeah, something to follow up on, isn't it? Something to look into.
Definitely.
But for now, though. Keep the comments, questions, stories coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Don't Google it, guys. You can do it. Try it. Write it for yourself. But for now, we'll be back same time next week. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have a great week, guys. And we'll be back same time next Wednesday to do it all over again on the Brawn Japan Podcast. See you then.
Hello, Kitty.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.